It may be a new year, but let me tell you, Connecticut still has a big problem when it comes to housing. Let's go back just a couple of months when House Bill 8002, in some regard, during a special session, passed without obviously a public hearing. You know, that did happen. There's no regard about that. It did. But in some regard, happened in an emergency situation because there was a no public hearings on it, but also we really didn't get to see the language until basically the gavel dropped in that 2-day period. But we also know that this was something that was worked on for many months. Let's go back to the summer when the governor vetoed the original housing bill. So there was a lot of time put into it, but there also didn't really need to be an emergency passing, especially when you know we've got a legislative session coming up in February. Why am I going back through all of this? That's a great question. Well, we're still keeping a very close eye on how much housing really does matter to the average lawmaker in Connecticut. Because if you ask housing experts who also had a say in that housing bill, they're not 100% pleased with the fact that it passed because they don't feel like it actually did enough. They don't know if there was really many changes made to it, at least significant changes. We've heard from Governor Lamont, who says he has zero plans to touch this legislation in the upcoming session. He said that on the show. He said, I'd like to let this sit and kind of see what happens in the next couple of years. Well, I should say Senate Republicans are kind of calling out now a lack of Democratic appointments to the state of Connecticut's newly created Council on Housing Development. And so for this, I want to talk to State Senator Steve Harding, who joins us now for the very latest. Senator Harding, Happy New Year and welcome back to the show.
Well, it's always great to be on. Thank you for having me, and Happy New Year to you and your family and all your listeners out there.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So you really highlighted or summarized it really well, because that's exactly what we're dealing with, in that we were told this is an emergency. We were told that we had to go into special session to pass this bill immediately. And then the old adage is, you know, do as I say, not as I do. And you're seeing now the actions of the Democratic leadership, who hasn't even bothered appointing members to this commission or this committee that is scheduled to begin. And it, you know, begs the question, if it was such an emergency that we had to go into special session to address this particular issue, that you declared it an emergency, wouldn't you think it'd be incumbent upon you to immediately appoint somebody to this important commission that's going to determine how to get more housing in this state? And I think it goes to show you that this had a lot more to do with political optics and certain agendas of individuals than it did about actually creating housing in the state.
Well, I always say, Senator Harding, and I hate to be that person, because like I said, I do think that it's not really all or nothing. Like I said, I do think that there were a lot of voices at the table. We have Joe DeLong and so many others who, right, you know, is of CCM. I know that we heard from a lot of people planning and zoning, different municipalities, obviously. I do think there was work put in from the first bill that did not pass and was vetoed by the governor to this bill that was passed during special session. I'm not going to disregard the fact that there was a lot of work that happened on the back end. There were a lot of conversations. Like I was staying in touch with this, so I don't want to just act like this kind of like popped up out of nowhere. But you can't ignore the fact that there were no public hearings. You can't ignore the fact, right, that this bill did start out as a homelessness study that did get out of committee and then turned into, you know, dozens and dozens of pages, which is essentially why the governor said, well, I'm not cool with passing this. I don't even know how we got to this point. So I like to give all sides of the story. But I think, yeah, the thing that bothers me is that this special session, I mean, it, no matter how you slice and dice it, was done under emergency circumstances. And I think anybody can say, well, what made this an emergency? And if that's the case, then why? Like I said, even housing experts, I would say, are not thrilled with this bill because they're saying, wait, I thought this was going to address something in the immediate, but it really doesn't, essentially. So no matter how you feel about the bill, it just sort of feels like, okay, if this was done under emergency circumstances, why then are we sort of saying, okay, then let's let it sit? It feels like checkmark legislation. I mean, when the governor says, I don't want to touch this for a couple of years, or you don't see that we're appointing people to this new housing panel, it feels like checkmark legislation.
Yeah, well, I think you nailed it. I think it is checkmark legislation. I think, you know, because if you look at the genesis of all this, you had the housing bill that was originally a homeless study. It became this huge conglomerate omnibus bill, you know, ripping up local zoning in every which way and direction. The governor wisely stepped back and said, no, I'm not going to sign this into law. In fact, I'm going to veto it. And that was his opportunity then to get people to the table. Now, you could argue that some people were at the table, and there were some, and there's some respected people at the table, I think, having discussions about fixes to this bill. But I think the bigger question is who wasn't at the table? Because I have spoke with mayors and first selectmen that may be somewhat okay with this bill, but I've spoken with even more mayors or first selectmen across our state, and this is all parties, mind you, that do not like this bill. They still think this is a terrible bill. They still think this rips up local zoning, makes it more bureaucratic when it comes down to zoning efforts and housing and land use, makes the process worse in some of their opinions. And I think, you know, you don't get as many missed voices, to your point, Melissa, when you have this done in regular session. You know, if we had just paused on this like the governor had recommended, gone into this next session, which is only going to be a month from now, and had a full session, we were able to review it, have public hearings, testimony, input truly from everybody as opposed to just an exclusive few that were selected to be on the table. I think you would have had a much better byproduct and something that I think was far more bipartisan, frankly, in support, as opposed to what we ultimately got, which was overwhelmingly partisan, and in fact, many Democrats joining myself, Republicans in the House and the Senate, in opposing this measure.
So we've got Senate Minority Leader Steve Harding here. Senator Harding talking about it was you, Senator Gordon, and Senator Sampson put out a joint statement. Again, a lack of Democratic appointments to the state of Connecticut's newly created Council of Housing Development. Let's back up, because for people who don't know, tell us a little bit about this Council on Housing Development. Was this part of the legislation that passed in November, or was this passed prior to that?
No, this was part of this legislation.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And again, it really makes myself and others ask the question, which you're referencing, Melissa, is if we had to go in an emergency session to do this, and the components of this bill were so pressing that we had to rip up all of the procedures that are involved to actually provide oversight and transparency over normal bills that are passed in normal session, wouldn't you think that those that pushed this bill through, which was a Democratic majority in the legislature in Hartford, would immediately appoint individuals of their choice to this very important committee that's going to determine how we get more housing for all in the state of Connecticut? And the fact that that hasn't even been done on their part really begs the question, to your point, Melissa, was this truly just a political checkmark because of how it manifested itself from what was originally HB 8002? Or was this actually truly legislation that you truly believe the provisions and components and substance of which is going to provide more housing to those in the state? And I think you're starting to hear, you know, it's looking like a lot more of the former, when the fact that the council is generated from this legislation hasn't even had the proper appointments by the Democratic majority that pushed this bill through.
So my question, Senator Harding, is this going to be bipartisan representing the council? I mean, like, have Republicans put anybody forward?
Yeah, we have. And so there are Republican appointments. I know my office has. I believe the House either has or is in the process of doing that in the immediacy. Now, obviously, it's not bipartisan, just like any other committee. Generally, in Hartford, it's controlled by the majority. So Democratic leaders get more appointments and to this commission than Republicans do.
But they haven't put anybody forward yet?
Yes, I have not seen one appointment put forward. There might be one or two from some Democratic leaders, but there's a bunch of vacancies on the Democratic side that has not been filled yet.
That's interesting. I wonder why. I mean, so, and it's not a situation of, and I'm just talking out loud, Senator Harding, so forgive me, but it's not a situation of, you know, whoever is already, like, to me, some of the names that stand out to me, you know, only because I've talked to both sides on this, but like Representative Kadeem Roberts in Norwalk, I know he's somebody who's worked on it.
Right.
I'm totally blanking. Filippo in Bridgeport, he's another one.
Yeah.
Rojas, I mean, up in Hartford. I mean, these are names that I think were already on, I believe, the housing committee. Are they just assuming these positions on the council, or that's not how that works? You have to literally appoint people to, you wouldn't just automatically be on.
It's a formal process.
Okay.
That is correct, Melissa. Yeah, it's a formal process, and that formal process has not been conducted by many Democratic leadership that have been given the right to do that in this particular legislation.
Weird. I don't know what the I don't know what the end game would be for that, Senator Harding. I mean, especially because it is a gubernatorial election year. And the thing is, is Governor Lamont, I don't know exactly why he vetoed the bill, if I'm being honest with you. Could it have been because he was concerned because he's from Greenwich and obviously Fairfield County was overwhelmingly upset with that bill and he knew that it was not going to look good if he just passed it without really knowing what was in it? Did he honestly want to veto it because he didn't have a hand in it? I mean, it could be a little bit of both. I don't know. I'm not the governor. But I guess the end game here, I don't know where he would gain. Like, I got to be honest, when I asked him on my show, are you going to touch this legislation? And he said, I hope not. I literally said, are you sure? You sure you don't want to touch it at all? Because I feel like lawmakers want to at least look at it. Because both, I said, even your party, Governor, has said that this is a good foundation, but we want to keep building on it, which is why we passed it in a special session, because we want to have something already there so we can work on it more effectively during the legislative session. And he said, no, I'd like it to breathe for a couple of years. So he doubled down and said, no, for sure, I don't want to touch this. I don't know what the end game would be here. Why pass something in a piece of legislation saying we're going to have a council but not appoint people to it? Why veto a bill and then pass it 4 months later and then say, I don't really want to touch it? Like, I don't, where do you gain here? Especially because you're running again.
Well, I think that's, you hit the nail on the head, Melissa, with the running again. I think that the governor originally supported the bill, from what I understand. I think that he was very surprised when local communities and people within his own party in local communities came out understandably in strong opposition to this, because it was ripping up local zoning like we've never seen before. I think he was struck by that because he knows there's an election year coming, did the right thing, in my opinion, vetoed it. And I think ultimately then got pressured from the left side in an election year where he is getting primaries to the left, with which I think token opposition for the most part, but nevertheless he is. And realize I have to acquiesce to the left wing of the party and pass something in some form. And I think that's exactly what was done here with this recent bill that was passed, the iteration of 8002 that we passed in special session, that's still uprooting a lot of local zoning to begin with. So it's really unfortunate, because I wish there was more procedure and substance involved with this discussion, because I don't doubt for a second we do have a housing problem in this state. We do not have enough housing for people in this state. I do agree with that concept, but it can't be politicalized in the manner that it has. And I think that's exactly what has gone on here. The governor originally was, you know, political to the right from the opposition he was getting within his own party on 8002, and then he became political to the left when he ultimately passed something that I think is very similar to 8002, albeit maybe a little bit better, but still pretty bad in terms of what it does to local zoning efforts.
Well, and Senator Harding, my understanding is, again, part of that bill that did pass and was signed into law was that the council was supposed to have its first meeting on January 1st. I would imagine without appointees, it didn't have the meeting, right? There was no meeting.
That's correct. And again, that begs the question. Was this purely political and we just did this to make show politically? Or are we actually doing something about this? And my argument would be, if you actually truly believe in what you passed, like the Democrats said, this is so emergent, you would make sure to make your appointments and conduct a meeting this January. And that hasn't been done yet.
Interesting. Well, it's certainly something that we need to keep note of. And again, I will certainly reach out to the other side. Like I said, Representative Rojas has been somebody I've talked to, Kadeem, you know, other people that have been very, I'd say, instrumental in the first round of the bill. I'm sure instrumental in the second round as well. But I think it does beg a question, regardless of where you sit politically. This should be, I think, a concern to you. If we all agree that there's a housing issue, maybe we don't agree on how we attack it properly. But to me, right, if we needed to pass a law under emergency circumstances and eliminate anybody from speaking about this besides lawmakers, and even then, it was done in a special session. It was sort of a yay or nay, right? I mean, it's not like you could fix any of the language. Once you saw it, it was either you're for it or against it, right?
At least on the Republican side, you couldn't. Yeah, at least on the Republican side, you could not.
Right. So
yeah, we were
not
afforded that opportunity.
Right. So to me, I think if you're going to pass something, and this was clearly in the language, I mean, I'm reading it actually in Section 14. It says that there is an established council on housing development to advise and assist the state responsible growth coordinator in reviewing regulations, developing guidelines, establishing programs, yada, yada, yada. And we just didn't do it. And we've got an actual legislative session starting in a matter of weeks. And we just didn't do something that literally just passed and was signed into law weeks ago. That's a problem.
On an emergency basis, it was so important. On an emergency, to your point.
Like, right. That should bother. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It should bother Connecticut residents, regardless of if you have a D or an R next to your name. That should bother you.
You're exactly right. It's about good governance, and we're not seeing it right now, obviously, at least in this case.
Well, Senator Harding, I appreciate you guys for sounding the alarm about this. I definitely am going to ask more questions and see if we can get the other side on to talk about this. Thank you so much for your time, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Thank you so much, Melissa. Always a pleasure. Happy New Year.
You too. Happy New Year to you, too. That is Senate Minority Leader Steve Harding, again, right here on WICC.